Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we go back and we look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. This episode we have Netflix 308th film from 2020. It's the Italian drama The Life Ahead, or La Vita Davanti a Sé. It's directed by Edoardo Ponti and stars Sophia Loren, Ibrahim Aguirre, and Abril Zamora. I'm Jesse, I'm your host. Thanks for joining me for this episode. As always, if you are keen on checking this film out, haven't seen it yet, give us a pause and come back a little bit later on because we will spoil it as we go. So, we do kick off with the Fast Flicks. I was going to say, how did this end up on Netflix? But we kick off with the Fast Flicks, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one's about a Holocaust survivor who is guilt-tripped into taking in a street kid who actually robbed her. Probably doesn't do justice to that Fast Flicks. There's much more to this film than that, and we'll probably touch on that as we go. So how did this one end up on Netflix? I guess the background to the actual story is that this is the third screen adaptation of a 1975 novel called The Life Before Us by Romain Gary. And I guess originally this novel was adapted for cinema by the Israeli director Moshe Mizrahi as Madame Rosa in 1977. This film actually won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film at the Academy Awards that year. And Simone Signoret won the César Award for Best Actress for a performance as Madame Rosa. The novel was also adapted for a TV series in 2010 by Miriam Boyer, who also played Madame Rosa. And in 1987, American director Harold Prince staged a short-lived musical version on Broadway titled Rosa. So this has had lots of adaptations across the years. This actual version was announced in July of 2019, with principal photography starting in that same month. We go forward to Feb of 2020, where Netflix acquired the worldwide distribution rights for the film. And once it was released, according to Deadline, the film became a hit, which is good to see because it peaked within Netflix top 10 in 37 countries. So seen by a few people, obviously, like many Netflix funded productions at this stage, they did have the intention of giving it a theatrical run before its Netflix debut to obviously make it eligible for award season, etc. I think it did have a limited release in America from the 6th of November 2020. COVID pandemic was still impacting a lot of cinemas around the world at this stage. So it did hit Netflix streaming on the 13th of November 2020. It was still eligible for a majority of awards at this stage, even though it didn't have a big theatrical release. So we'll talk about some of those soon. This was filmed in Italy. So the original version of the story, it's based in France and Paris. So they've changed this to an Italian setting to tie in with Sophia Loren. But also, I guess we talk about awards. This was nominated for 36 awards, 14 wins, so quite a lot. The biggest nomination was that this was nominated for Best Original Song at the Oscars for the song that plays over the credits at the end of the film. It's called Io Sì, which means seen, and this one is a Diane Warren song. If you follow the Oscars, you'll know that Diane Warren is pretty much nominated every year, no matter what film she does. I think this year it was for the Flaming Hot film, which was the Flaming Hot Cheetos film, the song for that. So Diane Warren got another nomination for this film. Translations around the world in Italian. So this is an Italian film. It's actually The Life Ahead of You, so not just The Life Ahead. In Spanish, it's called Life Before You, so it's gone the opposite. In Portuguese, it's called Rosa and Momo. I don't mind that. It's the two main characters. It is their story. In Chinese, it's got two titles. The Road Ahead is With You, or Traveling Together in the Future. And in Danish, it's The Rest of Life. And Japanese, it's called Future Life. So a couple of different titles across the world. What are the critics and audiences saying about this film? On Rotten Tomatoes, sits at 92% on 91 reviews. That is certified fresh. So very, very popular with the critics. Audience a little bit lower, 77%. That's on more than 250 ratings. On IMDb, sits at a 6.8 out of 10 on 15,000 ratings. Letterboxd, fairly solid, a 3.3 out of 5 on 18,500 ratings, but it's been logged by 25,000 people. And on Metacritic, very positive, both in the green for the audiences and critics. The critics, it sits at a 66 out of 100 on 24 reviews. And this traffic light system, so green, and then the audience is a 7.4 out of 10 on 47 reviews, also green. What are my early thoughts on this film? I think it's not simple, but it feels simple. It looks simple, but it's not. So I'll say it's a simple yet touching film. I think there's no surprises because you're probably going to predict the narrative and predict every beat. But the chemistry between Sophia Loren and the young Ibrahim Gueye, it makes this work and it leaves an emotional punch. I think this is a very, very effective film. So let's talk about the characters. Madame Rosa, she's our main character. She's a Holocaust survivor who cares for the children of sex workers. And this is a profession that she was once involved in. And Momo, he's our Senegalese orphan who ends up on her doorstep. She's there to guide and mentor him because he is tempted by the streets of crime. And she obviously is meant to be that role model to support him. And their relationship, I guess it's frosty to start with. And, you know, because he does things his way and he doesn't necessarily respect authority, but he's there to save her as much as she's to save him. And it's a much better choice than the threat of social services, taking custody of him. Momo, he misses his mum. He has great fond memories of her, and maybe that role that Madame Rosa plays is like a mother figure, and that's why that conflict is there so much. But once he realizes that she actually cares for him and he cares for her, that sort of makes that connection really good, because Rosa, she's the mother for many people and has been in that role that she takes and looks after these kids, because in that house she also has Lola, we'll talk about her in a moment, her child, as well as Isof, who's this kid who lives with Rosa. His mum's left, never come back. And this Isosif kid, he holds out this hope that his mum's going to return one day. And he builds that connection slowly with Momo. They become friends. But that connection is almost destroyed when his mum actually does return. And because Momo knows that this can never happen for him because his mum's passed away and she's never going to come. So that creates even further friction, I guess, in their relationship. Dr. Cohen's Rosa's doctor. He's the one that sort of puts Momo on her doorstep and realizes that they could work together well. And he obviously, as a doctor, cares enough for his patient, Rosa, and wants the best for her and understands that, you know, she is old, she's struggling with life. Hospital care is probably something that's best for her. But through Momo and his relationship with Rosa, they build trust in each other. And the last thing Rosa wants is to go to hospital. And Lola is the other person that sort of supports both Momo and Rosa. Lola, she lives downstairs from Rosa. Obviously, I said before, Rosa looks after a kid when she works, and she can stand her own ground and stand up for herself, but she has her own issues with her own father and whether she should go back to him and let him meet her own kid and those types of ideas too. The last character I'll talk about, Mr. Hamill. Mr. Hamill's the guy that Rosa goes to help and, I guess, give Momo a male role model figure, especially through faith, and because he's a Muslim, he is a carpet merchant, and Rosa identifies that connection he can make with Momo and faith is something that he probably needs and will benefit from throughout the film too. The director, Edoardo Ponti, 8 directing credits, so a mixed bag of stuff. Got 3 features, 1 music video, 4 shorts. All look like to be in Italian, but I guess the biggest thing in this is that he is Sophia Loren's son. So obviously mum working with son, that's why, you know, I think she was 86 when this film was released. So obviously, you know, heading towards that retirement age, or, you know, and she's almost semi-retired, barely does any films, but being in a film with your son directing is obviously something that she was really on board for. The scenes, let's talk about some scenes. What are some scenes that stood out? What are some things that I didn't like? Momo, there's a scene where he's so happy because he's been accepted by this drug lord, this guy that's making him sell drugs, and he dances down the street, and the song, I think it was a Basement Jack song, it was just a nice moment seeing him smile. The times that Mr. Hamill spends with Momo, building that rapport over the rug and repairing this rug, and the discussion around faith and religion and the idea of the lion, the animal being a symbol of power and patience and faith, and discussing with him that language can be his greatest weapon. So I like that mentoring sort of moments from him. Rosa loses it. This is a funny moment. Rosa sort of loses it with Dr. Cohen, because, you know, she's like, you've given me this Momo kid, he's a danger, he has these dreams, and she finishes off with this line about, like, do I need to lick his face before I put him to bed because there's these dreams of the lion. So that was funny. Rosa and Momo, they go out on the street, and she sees that there's these police that are arresting Muslims, and Momo wants to go and see what's going on, but she sort of guides him away, almost making that connection with her past experiences too. I thought that was an impactful moment. Momo talks to Mr. Hamill about him. This is a bit a humorous moment too, about, you know, are you married and are you single? And he's like, well, Rosa's single too. That was just funny, him trying to matchmake. And the other moment, like towards the end, Momo gets his wheelchair and goes to the hospital to get Rosa, goes through the streets all night, the sun's rising, he's exhausted, they stop and they enjoy this peaceful skyline, just a really nice moment between the two. things that I didn't necessarily like. I think there's a dance moment where Lola and Rose are dancing in the lounge. It just went on too long. However, and it was a bit awkward, but however, the finish of it was good because one of the kids picks up the vibrator that's in Lola's bag and she's like, oh, that's for my work. So that was funny. The CGI lion. Important moments, obviously, to talk about Faith and that mother-like figure and what Momo is missing out on in life, but the CGI was just really bad. So that really let it down. And then Momo going to see Rosa in hospital and she's obviously deteriorating and she doesn't recognize him. And he's crying and I just didn't really feel his performance there. So that sort of missed the beat for that scene for me. What's the film trying to say through themes or ideas? The naivety, I guess, of childhood, you know, having to grow up too fast, not understanding the past or necessarily the future of what the future can hold based on choices and based on decisions and trauma, whether that's from the Holocaust, whether that's refugees, migration from Africa, that idea of good versus evil and that idea of escapism to release, and whether that's through faith or religion or prayer or good word or making promises and keeping your word. These are all things that are touched on in this film. What did I take away from this film? I think the non-linear introduction really worked. The opening of the film was important because I'd completely forgotten about it until we revisit it later in the film and it was revealed what we were seeing. And I think that worked really well for me. I thought that was really good. Questions, pondering some ideas about this film. So obviously Momo saves Madame Rosa from the hospital and he's almost fulfilling her last wish of going back to her basement. Was it the right thing for him to do? Or is this going to be some guilt that he's going to feel for the rest of his life? Or is he free now and he knows what the right things to do in life are? I'm interested. I think that's just such an impactful thing for a young kid to do, is to remove an adult from hospital care, which almost leads to her death. But now she's at peace. So maybe you look at it from that side that, you know, finally she can rest. And then that idea too, Momo's still only 12 or however old he was. Rose is gone. Who's he going to live with now? Does he go back with the doctor? Does Lola support him? I'm not sure. I probably would like an answer because I do feel for that kid, because I feel like the temptation of the streets is something that, you know, he could probably fall back into quite easily. I'm ready to wrap this up. I think, you know, we give the film a rating out of 5. I mean, it's a beautiful film that it does everything, I guess, in this basic sort of way that I mentioned before, that it works. You see the emotions on the faces, the pauses of silence. These all make this a memorable film with such memorable performances from the two leads as well. So I think you must give this a watch. I'm giving this 4 out of 5 as well. Some real positivity from me recently. So 4 out of 5 for me. We're on socials. We've got Instagram. We've got Facebook. We've got X, formerly known as Twitter. The question I just wanted to ask is family more than blood? Because I think this film really pushes that idea that family is those that look out for each other. Family is those that give each other the hope, the faith to continue on, the resilience, the respect, and I think family, you know, can mean so much to so many different people. So I think that's a really good thing to take away from this film too. We are back next week. Next week, we're back on that Christmas train. We've got a 2020 Christmas romantic comedy called The Princess Switch Switched Again. So it's the sequel to that Vanessa Hudgens film we covered quite a while ago. This one's directed by Mike Rohl. It stars Vanessa Hudgens again, Sam Palladino, Susan Braun, and Nick Sager. So give that one a watch if you're keen on listening to my thoughts on that next week. As always, thanks for jumping on and giving me some company for this film. I highly recommend this film. Give it a watch if you can, and I will see you next week.